Are we being fed globalist approved opposition? Have you ever wondered why certain oppositional voices are subtly being fed to us, like those mentioned in the New York Times opinion piece called Meet the Renegades of the Intellectual Dark Web? Did you know about this intellectual dark web? I know I didn't. Upon closer examination, these chosen ones have no real solutions and even make things worse by convincing people that they should work inside a broken political system. What we're really being fed is globalist-approved opposition. Meanwhile, more genuine or insightful voices are prevented from growing because this is a real threat. In this video, I'm going to explain how this works by focusing on three of these so-called renegades of the intellectual dark web: Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, and Jordan Peterson. I'll also provide three rules to spot this. Candace Owens is someone I've already called out in a previous live video I made, where I discussed her connection to a doxing site called Social Autopsy. She had the gall to complain on Twitter that BuzzFeed had threatened to dox former college students she used to work with if they didn't give statements about her. How ironic, given that Social Autopsy, which Candace refuses to denounce, was designed to dox people as young as 6 years old by creating a page that recorded their personal details along with anything considered to be online bullying.
What about minors? We are seeing a lot of people that are showing concern for minors, and I guess this is sort of a two-pronged approach, which is first, you guys should be visiting the terms of service on Facebook and on Twitter, because they thoroughly explain what it means to be a minor and what you sign up and what you agree for when you check that box and agree to their terms of usage. Pretty much, if you are a minor, you are not excluded from anything if you are posting in a public place saying awful things. With that said, we stand by the fact that we think the best time to be on our database is when you are a minor, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. We are trying to affect their, you know, conscience when they're young, so they know to use the internet more responsibly when they're older. There's no harm, no foul, really, if you're a minor, right? You have this profile for 365 days. You're not applying to college. You're not, you know, going out for a job. It doesn't do anything to affect your livelihood in any way.
As if this isn't enough, she used to be a Bernie Sanders supporter, not long before she had a change of heart and backed Trump because, though she said he was reckless and stupid, Hillary was corrupt. Bear in mind that we're only going back 2 years, yet we're supposed to believe Candace Owens is now a conservative. But when you actually examine what Candace Owens believes, there's no evidence she's conservative about anything, even if she is critical of black identity politics. This leads to my first rule. If someone isn't openly socially conservative, then they aren't really conservative. Think about it. How can they be if they don't believe in conserving anything? And to conserve, you need to respect tried and proven traditional values that keep civilization stable. By far the most important examples are a natural definition of the family that isn't redefined by ideology and law, as well as the right to life for unborn human beings. Sure, gun rights, small government and low taxes are important, but you'll often find that fake conservatives and right-wingers are very happy to argue for rights until such time that they have to show some sort of moral restraint. This is egoism, not conservatism. And if you want me to be blunt about it, you might as well call these people Satanists or Luciferians, because that's exactly what they promote. Some may recall the media hype of Candace Owens being mentioned by Kanye West on Twitter, when he said that he loves the way she thinks. Now, I'm not going to say that Kanye West supporting Trump isn't a positive cultural sign, but if you recall my first rule, I wouldn't read too much into it until he proves that he's turned his back on his egoistic ways. Recall that it was in 2009 that Kanye West interrupted Taylor Swift's VMA acceptance speech because he was unhappy about Beyoncé not winning instead, blaming this on closet racism. Likewise, when Candace Owens points out that black people aren't oppressed, that's a good thing. But when people get huge public exposure for making edgy single-issue comments, we shouldn't jump to conclusions until they've proven that they're truly conservative or right-wing. Ben Shapiro is another one that's made a career out of spouting conservative talking points. But is he really what he appears to be? Though Kanye West and Candace Owens aren't exactly conservatives, Shapiro took it on himself to speak against them appearing on Alex Jones's show. Why would he do that, you might ask? Because Shapiro is setting himself up to become the next Glenn Beck, a notorious, approved conservative globalist mouthpiece that eventually had a breakdown during the Republican primary elections. Some say that Shapiro is setting himself up to run for office by constantly appearing on mainstream globalist platforms like CNN as an acceptable face of right-wing opposition. But what has Shapiro ever done to advance conservative politics? This brings me to my second rule. If a person does nothing to truly advance conservative or right-wing politics, there's no reason to trust them. If instead of doing this, they spend all their time complaining about the left while collecting a nice big fat paycheck, the chances are good that they're approved or possibly controlled opposition. Worse still, if they spend all their time attacking any kind of truly right-wing movement, group, or organization that might actually beat the left, this further proves they can't be trusted. Consider the way Shapiro has opposed Donald Trump through the Never Trump campaign. Why spend so much time and energy attacking Trump when a Bernie Sanders supporter like Candace Owens can see that he's a much more viable alternative than crooked Hillary?
There's no such thing as a tepid Trump supporter. There are very few of them anyway. They're a group of people who sort of say, I'll hold my nose and vote for him because he's better than Hillary, which is a position I don't take, but with which I sympathize, because I think Hillary's so terrible, obviously.
Will Trump hurt conservatism if he loses badly? They said Goldwater did, but Nixon got elected 4 years ago.
I mean, I think that he's already hurt conservatism pretty badly. My concern is that, and one of the reasons I'm not voting for him is because I'm concerned that he hurts conservatism if he wins. If he wins, then because then you see this whole group of people who sort of follow him position to position based on loyalty to party and loyalty to him personally. That's a serious concern to me. If he loses, I think that he hurts conservatism less in some ways because there's been a repudiation of some of the things that he believes and says.
Could it be that Shapiro pretends he has the best interests of American conservatism in mind, but speaks through both sides of his mouth, not only for the benefit of his pocketbook, but the benefit of Israel, which dual passport American Israelis consistently do? It's okay for Israel to have a proud ethnic and cultural heritage protected by border walls and strict immigration, but as soon as white Americans want the same thing, it's the end of the world in the eyes of Ben Shapiro. When it comes to Jordan Peterson, it's hard to accept that something isn't right about him because, in all honesty, he's by far the most compelling person I've mentioned. He also comes across as more sincere. However, it was after listening to Vox Day's criticisms of Peterson that I realised what is off about him. He's amassed massive public exposure in a very short space of time talking about issues that were considered cutting edge when I first started making videos about 7 years ago. Peterson therefore represents the mainstream acceptance of these points of view, and in that sense, this is a good thing. But Peterson is behind the curve, and you're never going to get him on board with certain issues until other less influential individuals have taken all the risks, making it more acceptable for tenured professors or famous talking heads to cash in on book deals and speaking engagements. So as much as I think Jordan Peterson is articulate and charismatic, the issues he talks about, like the pay gap, biological differences between men and women, or how toxic postmodernism and Marxism is, are either old hat in countercultural circles or what would have been considered common sense a decade or so ago. It's for this reason that the establishment give him such a big platform, because it allows them to freeze political opposition only to roll it back once it's been neutralized. This brings me onto my third and final rule. If it looks like someone isn't taking any real risks when speaking out, their motives should be questioned. In other words, if a person becomes extremely successful by sticking to the same topics, avoiding more controversial issues in the process, they're probably more self-serving than genuine. This is especially true when people give evasive, vague, or simplistic responses if and when they do address more controversial matters.
If Jewish individuals hated Christian Ukrainians enough to starve millions of them to death, could the same thing happen today? Could Jewish individuals use a position of power to seek out revenge against places like Europe and Russia that have a history of expelling Jews? Thank you again for your work. Just remember Rule 9, you know, it's like, maybe there's something here that you don't know about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I am trying to just speak the truth.
Okay. It's so difficult to disentangle. First of all, I haven't read this book, and I do want to read the book, so thank you for giving me the book.
You're welcome.
This explains why Peterson's atomistic individualism doesn't extend to preserving ethnic heritage through free association and self-determination, since it's a more current countercultural issue. What's more difficult to innocently explain is how Peterson helped write a report for the deeply sinister globalist sustainable development agenda, with its extremely pro-mass immigration policies. I realize it's hard for fans of people like Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, and Jordan Peterson to accept that they aren't as benevolent as they might think. But the lesson we can learn from this is that you should never idolize anyone. This is Rocking Mystery, over and out.